Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving time. It's Thursday. It's beautiful. The sky is blue. It's hotter than Hades down here in Florida, but it's beautiful. Trees are bending back and forth as the bay breeze gently dances. Oh, I just, it's like magic. Every day that I wake up, I'm in this beautiful area. As you know, we're moving, so between meetings and radio shows and work and being a mom and my daughter graduating eighth grade, I know, can you believe this, guys? You guys have been here since she was little. It's just been crazy. I've been so busy. And I love it. I love renewal and growing and challenges and motivation. And God, I'm so strong. And every day I get to remind myself that this too shall pass, and that beautiful sky out there is my joy, absolute joy. Today, I am so excited. We have Anita Wilson on. She's going to talk about her book and her work. And I'm really excited. She's going to talk about chronic pain and addiction and depression and chronic illness and all these things that we know enough about, but we don't know enough about. And she's going to be our guest today. Next Thursday, Kathy Tucaro, Story of Dreaming Big and How to Change Your Life to Inspire Other People. She's going to be on talking about improving self-worth and personal growth. And I'm really excited about that, too. What an amazing show. Do you know that I'm booked technically for 2.5 years on this show? It's just nonstop. And it looks like I'm going to be adding an extra hour on Thursdays. So I'll have two guests on Thursdays. And I think that's the only way to really do this until I can do it full time and get paid for it. That would be really, really cool. Tonight, I get to go to Chloe's award ceremony. I'm so proud of her. She's such a super kid. She's worked so hard this year, and she's done with eighth grade. It's so amazing how fast they grow. I wish this train would slow down just a little bit. But it's not reality. So my little baby girl is going to be a freshman in just a few hours. Can you believe that? That's crazy to me. I don't want her to grow up, but I know she has to. Yeah, it is what it is. I'm going to see if this is... Oh, if you want to call in and ask Anita any questions, feel free to do so. 929-477-1165. And don't forget, for those of you who are sneaking us at work, the chat room is open right now. So if you have questions, just chat with me in the chat room and I can relay that message to Miss Anita. Anita, are you out there?
I sure am.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited to hear more about your story and what inspires you to inspire other people. So give us your name and what you do. Let's start there.
Okay, well, I'm Anita Wilson, and I also go by Alias in Town, which is, if you just rearrange the letters of my name, you can get Alias in Town. And I purposely chose that name as a pen name because there are alias people living in every town who suffer with chronic illness, depression, and suicidal thoughts and addiction. And I just, because I was one of those people, I want to be able to speak for alias people. I write for them. I minister to them. And right now I am a chaplain and ordained minister. This is a new event in my life. It's a new thing that's just happened. And I wrote the book.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I wrote the book as a way to express my story of what I went through when it came to a suicide attempt about 7 years ago.
Are you there?
I'm still here, yes. I'm sorry.
We lost
are you there? Oh,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh, well, yes.
No, all we heard was suicide attempts, and then you faded, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have no idea what happened. Yeah, there was a suicide attempt about 7 years ago, and what happened is I live with a chronic illness every day, and there are a few days a week that I am completely bedridden with it. And what happened was in 2008, I ended up having to quit my job and all the volunteer work that I did. And because I based my identity so much in what I did instead of who I was, I ended up just getting into this really bad place of depression. And a person that I was in a support group with for my illness said that he thought that if I were to take some alcohol, it would help with the vertigo symptoms that I had. And so I did that. I took a shot of alcohol, and then one shot wasn't enough, so I did two shots, and then three shots weren't enough, and I did three or four, and then I was to the point where I was drinking a whole liter of alcohol every day, and I was washing it down with pain pills, and I just sent my depression into this terrible spiral where I was disassociating from reality most of the time. I was in just a really bad state, and I just got to the point where I didn't feel like life was worth living anymore, and I took a bottle of sleeping pills with about half a liter of alcohol, and I should not have lived. I should not have survived it, but I did, and my family was there for me, and they had an intervention, and I went into the psychiatric hospital, and I was able to get treatment, and from that time, I was able to, when I got home from the hospital, I spent some time trying to figure out how I got to that point. You know, it was such a low place for me to be. And so I picked up some of my journals, and I went through about 10 years worth of journals, and I just started pulling out excerpts from journals that would try to explain to me what happened. And then I created an art journal with that. I took the journal excerpts and I started painting pictures, wrote some essays. And I came to the point where I realized that I had tried to take back complete control of my life when I should have been surrendering some things to God. And by doing that, by taking back control, I just ended up losing my own power in the whole situation. And it really helped me to do this art journal. And I didn't think anything much more about it other than it felt good to do that. It was a cathartic experience, and I set it on a shelf. And then I heard a TED Talk from Brené Brown, and she talked about vulnerability, how every person's story is like a story with heart. And she said that the word courage, the root word of the word courage, cur, means heart, and the original meaning of the word courage was to express yourself with your whole heart. And she talked about how if we weren't vulnerable, if we weren't willing to put ourselves out there, then we would just not be living life to the fullest. And as I was listening to her, I thought about that story on the shelf, and I thought, you know what, maybe somebody else can benefit from this. And so I took the art journal as it was, just as it was, with the journal entries and the artwork and the essays, and I just turned it into a book. So it's a very raw, emotional book because the journal entries are verbatim in there, and I put it out there for the world to hear and the world to see, and exposed myself. That was very vulnerable. And now I am trying to just tell my story to as many people as will listen to it.
Well, and I think when you get to a place of healing, especially with tragedy, you know, adversity, tragic situations, exposing yourself, I always say that I'm standing out in the middle of New York City naked. And you can't get any more vulnerable than that, you know, having millions of eyeballs on your scars and the places that you've sewn together. And it's very scary. And there are times where, you know, I still tear up when I'm public speaking about some of the trauma. Mm-hmm. But that vulnerability is the authenticity of your story. That's what makes you real. It's what makes you an important advocate for people who are going through, either personally or within their group, a similar situation. And I think it's beautiful.
Right. Thank you. It is something that I think that anyone who is dealing with chronic illness or mental illness or addiction, it is something that you have to do, because if you just stay in the dark, nothing grows in the dark, including yourself. And, you know, the things that live in the dark are dark and slimy and moldy things. But yet, if we take the courage to come out into the light and say, yes, I have a mental illness and I need help, rather than staying hidden, rather than trying to isolate yourself, if you come out and say that I need help, it is one of the most powerful things that you can do for yourself, rather than hide away.
What was your inspiration to write this book? I mean, writing books is a huge endeavor. People don't understand until they get into it how much it absorbs your life, your soul, your mind, and your frustrations.
Yes, it really does.
A whole can of whip-ass.
It does. I just felt like I just have a heart now for people who, especially people who are dealing with chronic illness or mental illness, or perhaps their chronic illness is their mental illness. You know, 1 in 5 people in this country deal with mental illness. That's a very large percentage. That means that 20% of any given room, the people that are in that room, are dealing with a mental illness. And you wouldn't know it, because we tend to hide it. You know, we don't want people to know this about us. And I just, after going through my experience, I just felt like there needs to be more awareness to mental illness and even to chronic illness, because people who are chronically ill do the same thing. We hide. We don't want to be a burden to the public, or a burden to our families, or a burden to friends, and we try to hide. And I just felt like if my story can help anybody come out of that dark place, then I want to do that. And my original goal was not real lofty. I wanted 100 people to hear my story. I wanted 100 people to be able to relate to what it was like to be able to live with a mental illness. And in January of this year, O Magazine did an article on suicide, and they asked to interview me. And so a lot more than 100 people now have heard this story about falling down into the pit, but yet being redeemed out of it. And that was pretty exciting. But my inspiration has definitely been to reach out to people who are dealing with mental illness and chronic illness. I have such a burden for them, and that is why I pursued ministry and the chaplaincy, because, you know, the scripture talks about people being poor in spirit, and those who grieve and those who mourn and those who are brokenhearted. And I feel in my heart, I just feel like those are the people that I want to reach out to and help support in some way.
So for some reason, this show has 90 seconds. I don't know what happened. So we're going to have to dial back in. But for this first half of the segment, I don't know what happened. I apologize.
Okay.
I'm going to create another one. For the first, just give us your name and give us your contact information so that we can find you.
Okay, sure. My name is Anita Wilson, but you can't find my book under Anita Wilson. You have to use aliasintown.com. And my phone number is 614-975-7857. And if you go to my website, aliasintown.com, my email is on there, and you can reach me at Alias in Town. Anita Marie Wilson at Alias in Town.
All right, perfect. So give me just like 2 minutes and then dial back in. And I apologize again, I have no idea what happened. So
okay.
We are going to log off.
No problem.
And log back on. All right.
Call back in at the same number.
Exactly right. Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Talk to you.
Bye.
You're listening to Living in Town. with Rusty.